What is the best way to connect with high school kids? I've been doing this a long time. There's parents out there, they have high school kids. Maybe they listen, maybe they don't listen. How do you connect with them?
Well, I have two sons who are in high school, so they help me stay a little bit current because I don't listen to the music that's going on now and know all the trends, but I'll find out what it is to say and I'll slip a saying in there and the kids will look at me like, okay, you're too old to be saying that or what have you. But I have younger staff and they can help relate. But I mean, kids are kids. I mean, the best thing we do is we try not to take ourselves too serious. We try to have a good time every day. We try to get to know each kid so that they know that we genuinely care for them. And then once you build that up, then we try to move in the right direction, as you say.
You know? I got you.
And it's a lot easier once you have that connection.
Welcome to another episode of Best of Johnston County, brought to you by Breeden Law Office. Our host, Jonathan Breeden, an experienced family lawyer with a deep connection to the community, is ready to take you on a journey through the area that he has called home for over 20 years. Whether it's a deep dive into the love locals have for the county or unraveling the complexities of family law, Best of Johnston County presents an authentic slice of this unique community.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Best of Johnston County podcast. I'm your host, Jonathan Breeden, and today we have with us the Triple S Smithfield Selma High School band director, Brian Jones, and I believe the current North Johnston County Teacher of the Year, right? Or was that 2 years ago?
2 years ago.
2 years ago. So anyway, the immediate past Johnston County Teacher of the Year. And we're going to talk to him about how he got to Johnston County, how he became a band director. And one of the reasons I really wanted to have him come on, we're going to talk about the Spartan Thunder Drum Corps, how that came to be, how they choose who's in that, and how much they have to practice. And if you've not had a chance to watch these performances over the year, they are absolutely mesmerizing, including this year's performance of Thunderstruck. Welcome, Brian.
Thank you for having me.
All right, no problem. So we'll start with just tell the listeners who you are, where you're from, a little bit about yourself.
Okay, Brian Jones. I'm from Danville, Virginia. Went to George Washington High School, graduated in 92 and made my way to East Carolina, Go Pirates, and left there and I taught at a high school / two middle schools. I taught three schools and did the go around the county.
Okay.
And that was at James Keenan High School. I did that for 6 years and met my wife. And so she was living in Raleigh and I was living at Duplin County. The Smithfield job opened up and I've been at Smithfield for the last 21 years.
Golly, that's a long time.
Yes.
You've been at Triple S just about as long as I've been here since I came here in 2000. How did you end up becoming a band director? I think you majored in music in East Carolina. Is that right?
Yeah. I was really active in the sports and band like growing up. And I went to school on like part of a soccer scholarship and I got kicked in the face very early on. And it was basically, you're going to have to choose. And I wasn't good enough to make money playing soccer. And my parents were supporting me. So band it was. But it was 10th grade. I was sitting in band class and I enjoyed my class, my teacher. And I was like, this is what I'm going to do. And I never really looked back.
Oh, that's awesome. It's funny. I had that same sort of epiphany in ninth grade, taking the same civics class they teach in North Carolina now that they teach at all high schools. And I'm reading the Federalist Papers and I'm like, this is fascinating. Like the creation of a government and for the people, by the people. And I was like, I think I want to go to law school. You know what I mean? Just sitting in. So that's funny. 10th grade for you, ninth grade for me. I have a son getting ready to go into ninth grade. I don't know if he'll have that same epiphany that we had in high school, but we'll see what happens. Right. So anyway, you majored in music in East Carolina? I don't think about music majors. Is there like music trumpet or just music orchestra?
Music education. So you can do music performance or music education. And I chose music education.
Okay, I got you. Were you in the marching band in East Carolina?
Yeah, you have to be in the marching band for 2 years as just part of all music majors. So I did my 2 years and then college marching band is a little bit different than what I love and what we do at Triple S.
Okay. All right. So do you enjoy being in the East Carolina marching band?
I enjoyed meeting people. I went to school, like I said, in Danville, Virginia. So I didn't know anybody that went to East Carolina. And getting there a couple of weeks before school started and going through camp, I had like 150 people that I knew before classes even started.
Right.
I think that was very important for me.
Right.
I'm big into sports. And so the time commitment of college marching band and you have to sit here, I wanted to watch the games and be a part of the college atmosphere. And so like I said, after my 2 years, I was like, okay, I'm out.
Oh, cool. Cool. So you ended up in, I think of James Keenan, is that Warsaw?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Duplin County, down Duplin towards County. Wilmington, for people listening that don't know, having then worked on Football Friday for many, many years with Tom Suter back in the 90s. I've been to a lot of these high schools, so that's how I know about James Keenan. They're very good at football traditionally. Yes. So did you work with the marching band there? Did you come out of school and get a marching band job? Or were you like an assistant to the marching band director?
So I graduated in December, and I worked at a bank and lived with my dad in Durham. And then the band director who was at James Keenan had gotten sick. And so I went and did a long-term substitute. It was like 2 months, the end of the year. And then that teacher decided to retire, and I was looking at the different jobs, and I enjoyed working there. And so I said, this will be a great place for me to start, coming right out of college, not knowing if I'm any good at this, if I even like this. And to teach middle school and high school, it gave me the complete opportunity to see where I felt like it was my best spot.
Okay.
And so started with 11 kids in the high school band. There's 400 to 450 kids in the school, because a 1A small school. Had 11 kids in the band when I started. And then 4 years later, I had
400.
Yeah, I had 25% of the school in my class during third block. I used to joke with the other teachers, what do y'all do during third block? Like, y'all go out and eat? It was right about that size when I left after my 6 year.
So when did you learn how to march, how to design shows, and the movement of all the people in a marching band? Did they teach that at East Carolina in music education? Did you learn that in like a marching band grad school? How do you learn that?
So my high school band was one of the best marching bands in Virginia. And so my high school band director, Reggie Purvis, was a huge mentor for me. And so I learned a lot of what I do from high school. You know, in college, you are taught a little bit of that. The way things work now, a lot of times you pay different people to do those things. So like you would, like a marching band director would pick out his music, and either when you're low budget, like I was at James Keenan, you buy an arrangement and then you pay somebody to write the movements. Some schools, in particular around here, they pay people to write just for their band. And so like that arrangement is like a one of a kind. Some directors will do it all. Very few, I would say probably less than 5% who do it all. Now, having said that, my first year when I had started with 11, I also was the middle school teacher. And so the way I built the program was, hey, these kids, if I can make it exciting for them in middle school, then they'll come and join me. So when they were in eighth graders, I said, how many of you want to go play for 30,000 people? And I took them to Duke Band Day. And they gave you some arrangements. I think it was like Superman, Indiana Jones, some of the like standards. And so then later that year, I wrote my own like little 20 movement marching band show, and included the eighth graders. And then the hope was, out of that 11, I think I had two seniors. But in eighth grade, I had 30. And the hope was, if I can lose two and gain 30, then I've just like quadrupled my band in 1 year. If I do that 2 or 3 years in a row, it can build up. And that's how we did it.
Okay, that's fascinating. So what attracted you, other than you wanted to be closer to your wife being in Raleigh, to Triple S?
Like I said, at first it was location. It was tough leaving James Keenan. Like I said, I also was the basketball coach there, as a varsity basketball coach. Okay. And so I was kind of like that community. I was just very attached to that community. It was a small community. I know that there's no Walmart in Duplin County.
Right.
There's no movie
right.
theater. And so my parents were always checking me. Are you okay? You know? And it fit me. You know, I went to work and I taught and then I coached and then I went home and watched TV and went to bed and did it repeated. And it was tough leaving James Keenan. Smithfield, I called my high school band director and he told me like about Doc Winley, who was a friend of his, and how Smithfield used to have one of the best programs in this area, and it's a good place to teach. And so that kind of sold me. And then when I first got to Smithfield, I was an 11-month employee. So that was the big kicker. Basically, I'm doing the same thing at James Keenan, but then getting like that extra month of employment.
Okay.
I'm about to get married,
right.
about to start a family.
Right.
You got to start thinking more like
okay.
others. And so that's what started.
I got you. Now, Triple S has changed as Smithfield and Selma have changed over the 21 years you've been there. Talked about some of the changes you've seen there at the school, the number of students that are there.
Yes. Well, I think the students, when I first got there, it was about what it is now.
Okay.
But then when they built Cleveland and what Corinth, then Smithfield became closer to about 1,000 students. It's now built back up as Johnson County is booming
and
all the schools are crowded. So population is about the same. The facilities have definitely been upgraded. We're in Windley Hall. They named the new band room after Doc Windley.
Right.
And they're just finishing our auxiliary gym where everybody's excited. It's long overdue, but I think it's scheduled to open in January of 2025. And there's been a big makeover with that. As far as for me, the kids are pretty much the same.
Right. I don't know if the listeners realize, and I don't know if you know this, but at one point, Triple S, was it 45 or 50% of the students were Hispanic? Like now, isn't it almost half Hispanic?
Oh, I think it's closer to 60.
Which is a different thing than you would think of as people listening to this Best for Johnson County. I don't think they realize how diverse that school is with just a very large Hispanic population.
Oh, correct.
Traditionally, they're as talented and musically as talented in their culture as any other. And I don't think people realize that either. I was just in Mexico a few weeks ago, and some of the music and the musicians I was able to see, it's the first time I'd ever been to Mexico, were absolutely phenomenal with the traditional music and stuff like that.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I think that's what I'm probably most proud of is our program. Our school is the most diverse, but our band looks like our school. We want to make sure that our band is for all students at Triple S. And so we take a lot of pride in that.
And so I guess talk a little bit about how the budgeting works. You know, we're out here, you know, you have the Cleveland High School band, your son's in that band, raises and spends, is it $250,000 a year? It's more than $250,000 a year. You're right. You know what I mean? My guess is you cannot do that at Triple S. So how do you provide a comparable program without raising $300,000 or $400,000?
So that's one of the things I'm really proud of. As the economy has passed McDonald's on the way here, it used to be $5 for a Happy Meal, and that's now $10.
Right.
So what the students pay right now is about the same that they paid 10 years ago to do the same thing. What we rely at Triple S is the fundraising. We have to do a lot more of it. We have to be very conscious with every dollar that we're spending. Like I said, we're fortunate, starting with Doc Windley, who opened the school. The community has always supported the band program. And so we get a lot of contribution from businesses to help us out.
Right. And so what does the band have to raise money for? Because I think people don't understand that the band really, I mean, there's one band director. You often need assistants. You need costumes. The concept of a marching band show now is completely different than it was 25 or 30 years ago.
All right, so I would consider us a low budget school, and it costs $70,000 to $80,000 to have one marching show, you know, or to run it.
Right.
And so in there you have your bus costs. So like our band needs 3 to 4 buses. And so you're charged $1.50 a mile for anywhere you go. Just going from Triple S to Cleveland to back to Triple S, well, you have to pay for your bus driver, so you're paying for 4 bus drivers. So that could be anywhere from $50 each driver. And then the miles, which is not that much miles, but $1.50 there and $1.50 back. Just going to Cleveland and back could run you $500. And then if you run to like some of our competitions like Havelock, which is down at the Crystal Coast, it's almost 3 hours away. That's usually an over $2,000 trip just to go to compete. That's just to travel. Now you need to buy music. You need to buy the coordinates that they do. You have guard instructors. You have drum instructors. Costumes right now has come to a thing. We outgrew when COVID happened. We grew so much that we didn't have band uniforms that would fit every kid. And it takes about 8 to 12 months to get a band uniform. And so it was like, well, what are we going to do? So the new trend is digital tops. And they run about $75, $80, and then you do that every year. So that's the new thing of pretty much you're going to spend $10,000 to $12,000 just on band tops every year moving forward.
It's a lot. It's a lot. I know. That's why I always try to sponsor the bands around here. I sponsor your band. I sponsor the Cleveland High School band. I sponsor the West Johnston band every year because I understand that these costs are significant. And I believe that what y'all do and the opportunities that you provide for everybody, not everybody is going to be able to play at a 4A high school on a football team. Not everybody's going to play at a 4A high school on a basketball team, but everybody that wants to can be in the band. And they just have to practice and show up and participate and have a good attitude. And that's the one thing, it's the one extracurricular, at least in my mind, that truly is open to everybody. And these kids get to go and perform. You went to MetLife Stadium in New Jersey, where the New York Giants play a couple of years ago. Those kids got to play in the same stadium as where they played the Super Bowl. And that's a tremendous experience. These kids from Smithfield and Selma get to go into an 80,000 seat stadium on the outskirts of Manhattan and play in the same stadium as they played the Super Bowl. That's an opportunity they're never going to get again. And so anything that any business out there listening can do to support any of the local bands, whether it's Clayton or Cleveland or Triple S or Corinth, please do, because these are opportunities that will stay with these kids for the rest of their lives.
You talked about the MetLife Stadium. We took them into Manhattan and we spent a day there. And you take it for granted. I mean, I grew up in Virginia, but I probably went to New York 4 or 5 times before I went to college. And I went to Disney World several times. I didn't realize how fortunate I was growing up until you're on a bus with a bunch of kids and you just look back and they're all crying and you're trying to figure out why are you crying, and they're seeing the Statue of Liberty for the first time. And it gets very emotional to you that you can just see it. Or you get a letter from a kid 10 years after you've taught them and they're like, hey, they're taking their family to Disney World and they just were thinking about their first experience at Disney World and wanted to thank me for taking them. So it's like, that's the stuff, the music and the marching, that's all great, but it's those experiences that make somebody last as long as I have.
Right, I can understand that.
Have family law questions? Need guidance to navigate legal challenges? The compassionate team at Breeden Law Office is here to help. Visit us at www.breedenfirm.com for practical advice, resources, or to book a consultation. Remember, when life gets messy, you don't have to face it alone.
So how did you get 100, 120 kids in your band all going in the same direction for a 12-minute show?
Well, I've got a great staff. I don't want to talk basketball, especially with State and Duke this year, but I patterned the Coach K model. His assistants are his former players. And all of my staff has ties to me and former students. And so we don't have as many, but everybody takes pride in what it was like to wear that uniform and to be a part of the program. And we're all on the same page of what we're trying to do as a group. I think that's where it starts. And then we get out of the kids' way. I think our approach, knowing that we have less staff, is try to motivate the kids to move forward in the same direction and then just get out of their way. Let them do it.
Okay. Well, what is the best way to connect with high school kids? I've been doing this a long time. There's parents out there, they have high school kids. Maybe they listen, maybe they don't listen. How do you connect with them?
I have 2 sons who are in high school. They help me stay a little bit current because I don't listen to the music that's going on now and know all the trends, but I'll find out what it is to say and I'll slip a saying in there and the kids will look at me like, okay, you're too old to be saying that or what have you. But I have younger staff and they can help relate. Kids are kids. The best thing we do is we try not to take ourselves too serious. We try to have a good time every day. We try to get to know each kid so that they know that we genuinely care for them. And then once you build that up, then we try to move in the right direction, as you say.
I got you.
And it's a lot easier once you have that connection.
Cool. Let's talk a little bit about the Spartan Thunder. Okay. That is I think of it as a drum line, but it's way more than just the drums now.
It is.
So tell the listeners about what it is and how it came to be.
Okay. Yeah. And I want to make everybody listen up because I don't want to take credit for things that are not me. So we started Spartan Thunder in 2015. And literally it was a parade. We were waiting for the Selma Christmas parade. And I was sitting there after school and I was trying to come up with what can we do that, because indoor percussion, I don't know if you're familiar, a lot of the programs here do indoor drumline or percussion. They compete. So it's like a winter guard competition, but with drums. And those things can cost $40,000 or $50,000 to do. And we just don't have that. And so what could we do? And I was talking with my drum instructor at the time, and he was telling me this thing at Western that they do called Purple Thunder. And he showed me a video of it, and I was like, that's exactly like what I want to do. One of his best friends was a former student of mine who was also in that Purple Thunder.
At Western Carolina University.
Yes. And okay. His name is Justin Holmes. I called up Justin, and I was like, this is what I'm thinking. Will you write me a show? He said, just send me the 3 tunes you want. And so that's how it started. Justin at the time was a car salesman. And as we started getting Justin involved, Justin became my drum instructor. And then he kept writing. Then Justin became a TA at my school. And so he was working with the drum line during the day. And then he took Spartan Thunder to just this next level. Like, it started out with 3 or 4 hip hop songs on the radio that everybody knew. And then it turned into more themed shows. And so I think the first big one we did was the Avengers, and all the kids were dressed up like the Avengers and
right.
superheroes.
Okay.
And then over COVID, how do you teach over COVID? You know, because you're in Zoom calls and stuff like that. Came up with the idea of the Inferno. And so it was a fire show featuring music that had to deal with fire or hot. So we had, it's getting hot in here and
right.
this girl's on fire, and you'd have a girl do a snare solo. But the kids could wear masks and still be in costume, so that when we kept hoping, like, we'll eventually get to come back to school during that year. And toward the end of the year, when we were able to come back, we put that show together. And then we did a big video with that. Justin had one of his buddies from Western Carolina come up, and they shot it all in one day. And then that video went viral. And that's when the indoor percussion competitions that we couldn't afford to go to, they had a creative, since it was all virtual that year, they had a creative category, and we were able to send our video, and it was like one of 10 videos in the whole country picked. And so that video was shown, and now people like who love drumming from all over the country now know what Spartan Thunder is.
Oh, okay.
And so then from then, it's just like, then that video helped recruit as well. And so then Justin, just every year, has just gotten, he's always been the best, but he's just gotten better, and he's put more into it, and he starts thinking about it like a year in advance. Like he already knows what next year's going to be.
Oh, okay.
He keeps that under wrap, but now he's planning these things in a year where, in year one, it was a Christmas parade on December 2nd. We planned it. We wrote it on that weekend.
Right.
And then we're performing it in January. So it was really put together.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, so now it's got more than just drummers in it. So how many kids are in what would be the Spartan Thunder show now?
I think this year there's 48. So depending on the theme. So it went from Avengers to, he did James Brown. And then it went to Michael Jackson last year. And so when he went into Michael Jackson, he thought about, what if I add some winds? We have a saxophone player at our school that's phenomenal. Like, he's incredible. We had winds for the first time in Michael Jackson. This year, when he's like, okay, we're going to do AC/DC. I'm like, we're going to go from Michael Jackson to AC/DC. And so we pulled our bass guitar player from our jazz band. And we had a girl who's in middle school who played guitar with us with our marching band this year, sister of one of our kids. And so then we added another one. So we have three guitars in Thunderstruck. And then there's 10 to 12 wind players.
Along with a lot of drummers. Well, that's awesome. And then last year's show, the Michael Jackson thing, ended up landing with one of Michael Jackson's nephew, I guess Tito Jackson's son.
Yep.
And I think he shared it with the family and made some very positive comments about it. And it was phenomenal show. I got to see it in person. I got to see it on YouTube. And if you like Michael Jackson as much as I do, it was really good. And they had somebody dressed up as Michael Jackson, and they came in and did the moonwalk and the whole nine yards.
And just that video. So the fire video, we had somebody come in and do it. Justin actually did all of the video editing for the Michael Jackson video that you see on YouTube. It's like WRAL picked that one up. And so he went in and got a drone. He bought him a drone and started doing lots of things. And it's been really cool, like watching his passion put all of it together.
Right. Well, it really is a phenomenal show. And I'm not just saying this. I've seen some. I was fortunate enough a few years ago to go to Scotland and go to the Tattoo. And at the Tattoo, which is this huge celebration of music that they do in Scotland, they bring some of the top drum groups in the world. And I would put what I saw with Michael Jackson up there with any of the drum groups I saw in Scotland at the Tattoo. It really is phenomenal, enjoyable. And you cannot watch it. The show's usually 10 to 15 minutes and not just smile. Just can't. You can't watch it and not smile.
Right.
And that's why I'm telling anybody, if you've not seen it, go to, is Spartan Thunder have their own YouTube page now?
No, we have Instagram, SSS_band is the best way to see things. We haven't put this year's video up because he's still developing.
Right.
We did the Showcase of Stars performance, which didn't have our guitars and horn players.
Okay.
And we've played a couple times at pep rallies for our school, but he's still got some other props and surprises that even the kids don't know about. We're going to be performing May 9th through 11th as our big percussion theater. And it's basically an hour-long show of lots of different comedy and percussion type acts. And then at the end of each show in the gym, we're going to perform Thunderstruck.
And I went to that last year, and that was really a lot of fun, and got to see, that's the only time I got to see the Michael Jackson show live, and that was really good, and I really enjoyed that. So I would encourage anybody that's interested in band or percussion, find Spartan Thunder on YouTube or Instagram, the Michael Jackson show, this year's Thunderstruck show. I heard it's really good. I'm sure it is. Anything with Spartan Thunder is great. So as we sort of wrap this up, you've lived here in Johnson County now the last 20-some years. You've taught in the Johnson County Public Schools. What do you love most about Johnson County?
You know, I knew you were going to ask this because I was listening to the podcast on the way. And I love a lot of things about Johnson County. I mean, I love the location, just for your family to be here near some bigger areas, but not necessarily in those bigger areas, close enough to the beach, close enough to mountains and stuff like that. You know, I was trying to think of Johnson County, but I feel like Johnson County is still different depending on what part you live. And so I think the best way I could answer that is just from Smithfield, like what I love mainly about teaching at Smithfield. And I think that is just, the community has always been supportive. My administration at the school, I've had 6 different principals and they've, you know, put kids first. And then, like I said, the kids and parents. I mean, I think, you know, everybody's buying into the, want to be a part of the team, want to make the team better. It keeps me young. Like I said, I just turned 50 in January, and but I still feel, you know, like that kid that started 27 years ago, because the kids that I teach are still the same age. That's what I love. I love, you know, being near big areas, but still feeling a little bit small. Although every time I go up and down Cleveland School Road, I feel like we're going to be,
it's getting big, there's no doubt. It's getting big, no doubt. Well, that's cool. Well, we'd like to thank Brian Jones, the Triple S Band Director, for coming in and being our guest on the Best of Johnson County podcast today. If this is your first time listening to this podcast, we would love it if you would like, subscribe, or follow this podcast wherever you're seeing it, whether it be YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcast, or on any of our social media pages, Instagram, TikTok, whatever, so that you'll be aware of any future episodes of the Best of Johnson County Podcast. The Best of Johnson County Podcast comes out every Monday. And if you've not listened to any prior episodes, please go back and listen. We've had some great guests so far, including Patrick Harris, County Commissioner, Dr. Tim Sims, a local dentist. We had Chris Key, a financial advisor. We had Adrian O'Neill, the County Parks and Rec Director. And so if you love Johnson County as much as I do, this is the podcast for you. So keep listening. We've got more great guests coming every week, and we're always going to be talking about why we love Johnson County as much as you love Johnson County. And until next time, I'm your host, Jonathan Breeden.
That's the end of today's episode of Best of Johnston County, a show brought to you by the trusted team at Breeden Law Office. We thank you for joining us today, and we look forward to sharing more interesting facets of this community next week. Every story, every viewpoint adds another thread to the rich tapestry of Johnston County. If the legal aspects highlighted raise some questions, help is just around the corner at www.breedenfirm.com.